everybody. Back to the Great Connect podcast. I'm here with Chelsea Jewell, a resident astrologer who is joining me today to talk about astrology and generations, and specifically millennial generation. Because Chelsea, I have very clearly had this either download or just big old intuitive hit that, oh my God, millennials are here to save the world.
Yes, I agree. I feel like that's a very bold statement, but I totally agree. I feel like I'm coming a little bit out of the millennial closet and agreeing with you on that. It feels kind of taboo to say that, but it's true.
Maybe a little bit of bias from millennials, but it has clicked into place for me in a way that, like, a variety of different resources that I've studied and just my own internal, like, questioning and wanting to rebuild things and realign this world in a way that I think we all see as possible. And yet we've been the first 35 to 40 years of our life, like, learning the system. And then here we are at this moment, which feels like we're all waking up in what could be called a midlife crisis, but I'm calling it a midlife awakening. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, how does this relate to, like, what this generation was born in from an astrology perspective and what's happening for us right now?
Ooh, wow. Okay. There's so many layers to this astrologically. The first main one that most astrologers talk about, because it's called a generational planet, is Pluto. And so Pluto in a different sign, it's usually in one sign for about like 18 to 22-ish years. Its orbit's kind of elliptical, so it can change. But so it corresponds a lot with generations. And millennials in general, there's some who fall on either end of the spectrum, but most millennials are the Pluto and Scorpio generation. And archetypally, energetically, Pluto and Scorpio share very similar energy. So it's like a very strong dose of this energy that is about alchemy, death, and rebirth and transformation. So, like, right off the bat, what you're saying, I think, corresponds a lot to the millennial chart that we all have Pluto and Scorpio. It'll fall in a different house in our charts depending on when we were born, but we all carry this archetype of, like, we can also see shit below. Oh, can I curse on here?
Yeah.
Okay. We can see shit below the surface of just, like, what's being presented to us, and, like, really sense and feel deeply attuned to, like, a capital T truth, mm-hmm. and what needs to die, transform, and be reborn in that process.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one.
Yeah. So when you said that about it landing in different houses for each of us, what came in for me is, well, of course that makes sense. It should be in each of our houses, because if we're truly a generation that's going to have this alchemical reaction on the planet, we need it to impact every single house. But can you share a little bit more about how house placements, like, impact what we kind of evoke from that?
Yeah, so in astrology, each planet, like in your astrology chart, each planet will fall into a specific sign and a specific house in your chart. Okay. So Pluto, for all millennials, most millennials, falls in the sign of Pluto. The houses in a chart represent different areas of life. So depending on what house you have Pluto in, it will, that energy of, like, where you're very attuned to, like, transformation and what needs to transform and die and be reborn will be different for you. So, for example, the 10th house is a lot about career, work, outer world, reputation. So if you have Pluto in the 10th house, you are probably someone who's here to, one, experience for yourself a lot of death and rebirth energy and kind of, like, Phoenix energy around your work and career and purpose. And also you're here to, like, see below the surface of things within, like, for on behalf of the collective in the realm of work, purpose, outer world achievement.
Cool. I love that, right? Because it's like we can, one, rally the troops as a generation to say, like, we all feel this energy and we can all feel it uniquely in different aspects. But that also gives us a connection point of saying, okay, I feel it here. I want to rebirth or transform this area of the world. And I want to do this one. And how can we come together to support each other in that way? Because we all feel a very similar energy.
Totally. And the other thing that's unique for each of us, depending on the rest of our chart, are the aspects that Pluto's making to other planets. So, for example, in my chart, I have Pluto conjunct my ascendant or my rising sign. So, like, I am a very what you would call Plutonian person. Like, I just come in with a lot of intensity and like depth and need for transformation. Some people, depending on where the other planets are, might have Pluto square their sun or trine their Venus or whatever. And that's getting a little bit more technical. But again, that's to say that like there are layers of differences for each of us, even in the millennial generation, of how we are meant to carry and embody this phoenix energy, this like alchemist type energy.
Are there any other planets that, because Pluto's obviously the furthest out for us, or at least in that, what else would be impacting millennials that would be, or even, I'm elder millennial. Love that. Or Oregon Trail version, right? Because there's like kind of these breakdowns. And when I think about astrology for generations, it's like absolutely there's kind of this big cycle. And then you do notice that even within one of those cycles, there's groups that feel a little bit more aligned to each other. Is there something in astrology there?
Yes. So again, kind of the transpersonal planets are the ones that are farther away from the sun. So obviously Pluto's more like the most generational because it takes the longest to go around the sun. It's the farthest way. But Uranus and Neptune also are transpersonal planets. So a common theme I see, so your Uranus, I think, is in Sagittarius, right? Okay. So there's some like a grouping of millennials with Uranus and Sagittarius. Mine is in Capricorn, and I can relay that a lot to a subgroup of millennials that like Uranus is where we're here to bring change and innovation and liberation. And there's a strong group of millennials that are here to shake up the workplace, which is very Capricorn energy. Like we're here to shake up the corporate world and like the traditions and structures of the way things have been. Uranus for you and Sagittarius and your group of millennials is a lot more about like beliefs and maybe even religious systems. So there may be some people who are elder millennials like you, some even in Gen X also have Uranus and Sag, who had some more experiences of really having to like clear the way and detach from religious or societal or ancestral beliefs, whether they're religious or just like limiting belief patterns, and break into like new sets of like almost like new collective neural pathways.
Oh, I mean, I feel like that's it's so funny to me when you talk about this stuff because it's like, yes, that's 100% what I feel, and I could never really articulate. Like, I've always been really interested in studying, let's call it religion, right? Because I was so fascinated by these stories and the wisdom that came out of them. And there was something that I also very much rejected about it at the same time. So it's always been this polarizing experience for me because I could watch a million things on the History Channel about Jesus or different religious figures or whatever that happens to be. And at the same time, I have no desire to go to church. The weird, like, I'm so obsessed with it and don't resonate with it at the same time. And so when you say that, it is so much deeper.
It's kind of like you have to spend some time and energy invested in the thing that you're here to disrupt so you can see it clearly and see like what needs to be disrupted. And that's how I feel with my Uranus and Capricorn. I mean, I spent the first 10 years of my career in corporate America working for big corporations
Yeah.
in the belly of the beast that I'm here to disrupt.
Right? I feel exactly the same way. It's almost as if I have this, you're talking about rebirth. I was just talking about this the other day, right? Which is like, what are you going to do with this one precious life? I'm like, oh, I've had multiple lives all in the same life here.
That is very Pluto and Scorpio as well. Like, yes, exactly.
Like, wow, that person, I enjoyed that part of my life, but wow, does it feel so dramatically different
Totally.
where I am today? And so much of that felt very me in like you're saying about this corporate world. Like I felt really good. There was a lot of positive stuff and also stuff like this does not feel good. And why is this happening? And lots of questions, right? Like just lots of questions. But I think you're right. Like I think about this all the time, even with my kids, and thinking about how if you don't experience it, you almost can't question it, right?
Yeah.
Because you're on the outside rather having been in the belly of
Yep.
the beast.
Yeah. I think on that note, like two really good words that you could associate with Uranus and wherever it is in your chart would be awakening. It is a planet of awakening. And also, there's an element of deconditioning, especially right now, of like you had to go into the system and you got filled with probably a lot of things that aren't actually aligned with your true self and soul, but it's so that you could decondition, refind, reclaim yourself, and break, help liberate other people
Yeah.
from those matrix-like ties, whether in like belief systems or religion, in the corporate world, etc.
I mean that just makes so much sense, right?
Yeah.
Like we get so frustrated being in these systems, and yet how can you know what to change if you don't experience what you don't like?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, how many people so talking about the corporate world, it has always been this obviously makes so much sense when we talk about it this way. I was always so frustrated by consultants, irony of the greatest degree, right? That like now this is part of what I do. But to your point, I've lived it. And so often the frustration that I had with consultants that would come in is they come in, be on the outside, ask a lot of questions, and then tell you what to do and then leave. And it's like you actually have no idea how things work here or how to do things. Like, how can you just come in and like wave your magic wand and say that this is the right solution? You're not in it. You don't get
Yeah.
it. And that feels exactly like what you're saying is for all of us that are kind of moving through this awakening process and really questioning the systems that we're in, we've all had to be in the system to be able to say, okay, and I would say from a rebirth or even thinking about the Phoenix, I think what's really important is not to throw the baby out with the bathwater because
Yeah.
there is value. And how do we just parse out or discern like what is the value? And I think that that's because you had to be in it. You
Yeah.
know that there is good people, there are good things that happen. And if you stood on the outside and just said, what is this shit show? You
Yeah.
could just like wipe it all off, right?
Totally.
And start from scratch.
Yeah, I've been reading this book about transformation, and what I love and what they say is that transformation is it's almost like a nesting doll where it's not like throwing the baby out with the bathwater, like this is the old and this is the new, but it's a simultaneous transcending and inclusion of the old. But that inclusion of like what's worked and what was positive, I think is so important. That is one of the main differences between just change that can go from like side to side, or like swinging from the pendulum, to transformation, which is more like an encapsulation and more like there's more beyond this now.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're reminding me of so I was at Toys R Us Babies R Us in 2008, or well, before that, but when for millennials we had another beautiful moment of catastrophe.
One of many.
So many of them. We're so good at this now, which I think is actually important too, right? That we've been through multiple things and have been able to see it through to the other side. But our CEO at the time certainly ruffled a lot of feathers because we actually merged our two divisions. I worked for Babies R Us, and the Toys R Us division was larger. And at the same time, we had these two different divisions that obviously had things that they could overlap, et cetera. One of the things that he said to us in that time, because basically it one day we were separate entities, and then the next day we were together. All these people have been let go. These were the new job, these were the new leaders, this was a new structure, this was a new organization. And what was really fascinating in that experience that I think about a lot is I remember him standing on stage. Because people were so frustrated, especially from a Babies R Us perspective, because Toys R Us was the larger organization. And so it was like, okay, we have to pick something and move forward with it and then create this change to understand what's not working along the way. But if we stay in this liminal state of, should we do this one? Or let's go through every SOP individually and decide which one's the right one, right? Which is what people wanted. That was what. Especially the Babies R Us team was like, wait, now I have to do all these Toys R Us ones, like, but it doesn't make sense for our business, blah, 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 blah. And he just very much said, like, this is a huge ship to turn. We have to pick something. It doesn't mean that it has to stay for forever, but we have to pick something and work with it. And then we can start to move things off or adjust things as we go. And the most important ones will rise to the surface fast. And we can make those decisions fast. But if we're trying to make 1,000 decisions at one time, we'll never move forward. And what you're saying about this nested change and nested transformation, that feels very much like that, right? Because, or at least in my perspective, feels a lot like that because we could stay in a liminal state of trying to make all the decisions, but actually the action and the moving forward helps us change the next best thing, the next best thing, the next best thing as we go.
What you're making me think of too, is a very important theme that's coming up right now. And there's a couple things I'm thinking of actually that I'm like, why are we having this conversation about millennials being here to save the world right now? There are multiple things astrologically going on. One thing that's happening now at the start of 2025 and into like middle of 2026 is the South Node for everyone is in the sign of Virgo, which is it tells us what we're releasing a bit, and the North Node is in Pisces. And what you're talking about fits into this because with the South Node in Virgo, we are releasing a lot of our knee-jerk need to control and to know or plan out and strategize the answers ahead of time. Like this, like, oh, we're gonna have a 5-year plan or a 10-step plan before we start taking any action. We're releasing some of those tendencies because, like, we're moving into a very quick age astrologically as well, where like change is going to happen rapidly. And if we're not adapting and adjusting as we go, we're gonna get stuck. The North Node in Pisces is helping us in that process lean into trust and surrender and kind of like flowing with responsive to like what's happening now.
As a Virgo rising, this feels like really potent for me, because I see that high side and that shadow side of Virgo very much in myself, right? Like, I love some good control, and
Plan.
this is the plan. Here we go. Like, this is where we're going, right? And it has been really, really important for me to pull back from that and surrender in that way of like, okay. And actually, just yesterday, I had a conversation with one of my team members. We were talking about, I was like, okay, I really want to flow. And there's a friction that happens between the inspiration and the execution. And how do we make it easeful in between so that we can move from inspiration to execution really fast without planning, right? With allowing that like flow to happen and just the natural stuff. And She was like dying laughing because the word we're using is templatized flow.
Yeah.
Like, how do we just create the tools that
Ooh,
allow us to flow
yes.
easier?
Yeah. That's one of like the biggest questions of my life too. I think for a lot of us, especially as we're moving from one way of being to another. One of the best examples that I have of doing this has been I've done a couple, and I'm hosting a retreat later this year doing this, but camping and backpacking in the wilderness. I've done two trips, one in Yellowstone and one in Utah, with this company that leads these expeditions, camping, backpacking, and hiking. And so, like, they're the wilderness guides that cook all the food, they do all the safety and stuff. And what I love about it, and like, it has become a big example for me, is like each of their guides, every time we go out, they are so prepared for anything. Like, they have the training and the tools and the knowledge to then be able to go into the wilderness and whatever comes up, we'll deal with, you know? And it's like you can't control what happens when you're out there. But I think it's a really good kind of template and metaphor for life, too, of like when you have the tools and the training and the self-trust to kind of go into the world, that's you have kind of the masculine structure so you can go in and flow and trust within the feminine unknown.
That is like a very top of mind constantly for me is structure and values, structure and values. And it's like almost reshaping for me again at this moment of I had something come up that was like a gentleman's gonna help with a couple of business things and he fully supports everything. And then he was like, okay, here's some of the questions that we need to discuss and talk about. And my initial, I was like, oh, I'm not good enough, triggers, all these different things. And I was like, oh my God, okay, breathe into that. What is coming up for me, right? Okay, I can feel all of that. And is that true? No, he is here to help. You obviously don't have it all figured out. That's the point. Yeah, that's like literally why you're here. And what felt really powerful to me in rethinking that like masculine structure side of things, right? Because if the feminine holds the value system and the masculine is here to build the structure to support the value system, it's very much felt like for me that, okay, you could see it one directionally. And then this experience offered me the opportunity to see it the other direction, which is, wait, he needs to ask questions to understand the value system. And the value, too, of the structure is the masculine energy of wanting to create structure. And so, therefore, wanting to pull apart the values more deeply to understand them to create that structure process for it, right? And so, it kind of clicked this whole new level of structure and values, or masculine and feminine for me, of the masculine isn't at, like we've been conditioned, at least as females, right? That like the masculine knows and then they question us. What if the questions are actually to understand what we're saying so that they can build correctly, right? And so, with us feeling triggered by the question, like it was just this shift for me. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
Yeah, it's kind of like curiosity as opposed to criticism. And
yeah.
there can be a different energy. And that's also, those can be very Virgo, Mercurial type things as well. So I think that's coming up in a lot of ways for all of us as well.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense, right? Like, because Virgo is planning.
And another thing that's coming up that's directly tied to at least a subset of millennials that's coming up soon. And I'm thinking of this because you keep mentioning and we're talking about structure and also the way we think about and go about implementing structure is changing. Hold on, am I still here? It's breaking up a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to close out my staff, so it's
Oh,
like
okay.
it's disrupting.
So there's an interesting kind of seed moment coming back around from a subset of millennials coming up in early 2026, which is a very significant Neptune-Saturn conjunction. So the last major time we had a Neptune-Saturn conjunction was in 1989, and we're about to have an exact one at a very significant degree point at 0 degrees of Aries in February 2026. And Neptune is the planet of spirituality, but it also dissolves whatever it touches, and Saturn is structure. And so there's another theme that, again, millennials are very strong carriers of like being here to dissolve structures, traditions, systems that aren't working anymore. And for some context, in 1989, the last time we had an exact conjunction was when the Berlin Wall fell, which was like impossible back then. No one thought could happen. But that's a really great embodiment and depiction of like walls and barriers literally falling, that something of that nature, whether it's literal, metaphorical, a mix of both, is coming back around for all of us in 2026. And I think millennials will be a big impetus for that because we kind of carry this seed of that conjunction in our charts.
Oh, that's really fascinating. Yeah, I love that. Wow. Just even the metaphorical like wall and like all of that is wow.
What it makes me really think of with this one, because this Neptune Saturn conjunction coming up in 2026 is happening at 0 degrees of Aries, which is the very first degree of the entire 360 degree zodiac wheel. And in Aries, it makes me think of like, this is my highest hope for this transit in some way, that the walls of the separate self start to dissolve, where like we have this illusion of like it's me versus you and we are separate beings. And we have to have some degree of separation and like ego in this lifetime to carry out our lives. And that's part of why we came here. And like, I feel like those walls have gotten so clogged up, like artery walls, that nothing is getting through. And that's what I hope can really start to dissolve through Neptune's dissolution power, in the next like 2 years.
Yeah. I have a lot of Neptune conjunct various things in my chart, or a lot of aspects with Neptune in my chart. So I think that's really fascinating. I really resonate with that because I think that is a big part of what I read in the millennial generation is that desire to move beyond, right? And it's an interesting phenomenon. And I believe every generation has a very clear purpose and really powerful, and that we build off of each other. And I think that's really cool. I think as a millennial generation in particular, we're definitely a different breed. And we see things very differently than I think any other generation has before, in a way that, like, I've always wanted to learn from anybody, no matter their age, older or younger. Whereas I think before that, it was the generations a couple before us were less that. And to your point about like the Scorpio energy wanting to like pull things up, what I feel from a millennial generation is a lot around action, right? And so there's more. Desire to create the change, not just observe the change. And it just that it, for whatever reason, this group feels that way to me versus the I see it and I'm going to do my thing, but it's my thing. Whereas the millennial generation feels like more collectively like this has got to end.
That kind of does tie into what I think I'm feeling as well with the dissolution of some of the barriers of the separate self. And the other thing I think that corresponds to a lot is Pluto moving now into Aquarius, which is very collective consciousness, group oriented. And This is significant for millennials because we are entering our Pluto square era. So, like, as Pluto enters Aquarius, which is a sign that makes a square to Scorpio, where we all have Pluto, squares can be challenging and filled with tension. And there's an impetus to act, and there's an impetus to like produce something. It's like squares are often referred to as like the pressure that creates a diamond. And that's what, as a generation, we're moving into. And we all carry it at different times because Pluto moves so slowly through the next 20 years. We all kind of bear the burden at different weights at different times. But I think that's related to some of the impetus to action that you're feeling with us specifically as well.
That's so fascinating, and also feels like it connects very much with kind of the midlife crisis or the midlife pressure point, right? So, I never, that's brand new insight for me. And that's really cool to think about it as that way of like, yeah, we kind of get to this moment where it creates that pressure point. And then it's so funny. I said this years ago. It's like, okay, when you feel that pressure, you get to decide, are you going to be a diamond or are you going to be a coal and like fuel for somebody else, right? Like you're at that moment and you get to decide which kind of that pressure can create two different outcomes, right? And so that's super cool.
I know, and there's so many applications of this too, because I'm like, again, my mind keeps going to like, there's a reason why we're having this conversation right now. And I do feel like a lot of millennials, with the impending Pluto square in their chart, and probably some other, maybe like Uranus opposition and things going on in their charts. But there's this sense of pressure that feels like I've been learning, I've been gathering experiences my whole life of Phoenix, like death, rebirth, transformation. And something is calling within me to put this into practice in a bigger way for more than just myself. And I think that's going to mean different things for each of us, but there is this kind of collective sense of like, our time is now.
I'm curious too because Saturn obviously has a different energy, but it moves on that kind of like 7 year cycle, if I'm correct in that. Is that right?
It goes through each house for 2.5 years at a time. So it comes back around in 30-year cycles.
Okay. I knew there was something, there's something that was like your Saturn return and when that happens and that can move. Shift a lot of energy for you. So I was thinking that it was connected potentially to that like 40.
Well, so you go through a Saturn return around 30, around 60, and around 90. However, like for me, a lot of millennials will have Saturn in Capricorn, like I do. And so as Saturn moves next year and into 2027 into Aries, we'll be in a Saturn square as well, which is another kind of pressure cooker, diamond kind of energy.
Okay, interesting.
And you may be, do you know where your Saturn is?
I can look.
Is it also in Sagittarius?
I
Or maybe in
think so.
Scorpio?
I'm not telling you where is that.
Great.
My Saturn is in Libra, actually, in my second house.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting because then you, as an elder millennial, when Saturn moves into Aries 2026, 2027, it'll actually dip into Aries a little bit this year. You will be going through a Saturn opposition while other millennials will be going through a Saturn square. So Saturn is still going to be, it is still activated at different points, even along the 30-year journey of its cycle around. So, yeah.
Makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
They're like cycles within cycles within cycles.
Right. Well, that's kind of like that nesting concept that we were talking about around transformation, right? Which, when you start to think about that transformation, all these different energies operate for us in these different cycles. So, I mean, if it all shifted at the exact same time, that would be
Yeah.
terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. So the last question that I think I have around the millennials. So if we were born when Uranus was in Scorpio and we can go back to the 80s, I'm
In
curious.
Sagittarius,
Oh, I'm
Uranus
sorry. Sorry. I was thinking Pluto in
in
Scorpio.
Scorpio.
Bear with
Yep.
me. And now we're at like the age of Aquarius, right? Pluto in Aquarius. I'm curious, like, it energetically imprints on us that energy of Scorpio, right? This, and when that was happening, is that we're looking at like the Cold War, we're looking at like the wall. I'm just curious, like, what else would we have experienced when that transit was happening at that time? I don't know, and maybe that's just a far off question that we'd have to look into some research, but it feels like there's something else there that's like, as you're experiencing it, not just that it imprinted in your chart and therefore is being activated now, but like what else imprinted for us when we experienced that as young kids? Like, what did we observe? What was like the energy at the moment?
Well, my take on this is also Pluto and Scorpio are also associated with trauma and suffering. And everyone experiences trauma and suffering to different degrees and all of that. It can also be like abuse. There can be a lot of shadow with Scorpio. And so I also associate millennials and like not only what we're going through now, but what we've grown up through is like, I think, have been the first generation in mass to normalize therapy and like going back and like actually looking at the shit and the shadow and like using it as fertilizer, as alchemists, for our growth and healing and transformation. And so that might be more unique and personal and individual, like what traumas or abuses and what level we faced of that. But I think the difference is like almost every millennial I know has gone to therapy or done coaching or done some sort of healing or alternative healing thing, which like in the generations before us, you shoved all that under the rug and you ignored it. It wasn't polite to talk about or look at it. So I think that's one of our biggest catalysts and strengths as well.
That makes sense, right? Like, and to the point of like Scorpio, like you had to be in the darkness, like you're bringing it up and out. So it's not just us living that energy in this moment of saying what's under the surface now that needs to be brought out, but utilizing all of our own experience in the shadow to fuel ourselves to go forward.
Yeah, and I mean the way I see it too is kind of like in the same way I talked about like the wilderness guides and how they're so prepared to go into the wilderness. I'm like our whole lives have been preparing us with the tools to face the shadows and the trauma and the pain and turn it into something else, because as Pluto's moving into Aquarius, we're stepping into a different role of having to carry and do some of that on bigger collective levels. So we've had the whole training of being in the darkness, making the unconscious conscious within ourselves and our lives and whatever we've been through. And now we are kind of like the pioneers in a lot of ways, leading that for more than just our individual selves.
The way that you said that really struck an intense chord for me because as I was thinking about the different layers and levels of like what I think millennials are resurfacing, one of the this is a dumb and yet so important one, which is like I never learned how to cook. Everything came out of a box. or from the microwave or whatever it is, right? And while those were at the time technological advances, what you're saying to me is hitting in a way that's like, right, we actually had the wisdom withheld from us, is kind of how I feel. That's my personal experience is I didn't learn anything about my body. let alone emotions. I mean, I think we all get the emotional thing. And we're also all recognizing that, like, I didn't learn anything about how to function in this body or how to feed it or why I fed it or any of this, like, what feels like this ancient or indigenous, like, wisdom that comes with being in this physical body. And so when you say that, like, about it being in the shadows, like, I literally have this visual of, like, the millennial generation having being, kept or under the blanket from all of this, right? Well, you don't need to know about that. You don't need to know about that. You don't need to know about that, right? And so, one, we've all kind of asked questions for a really long time and was the generation that everybody was annoyed by because all we kept asking was why.
And still do.
Still do, still absolutely do, right? And that makes so much sense because nobody told us why. There was no why. It was just do what you're told.
This is the way things are because I'm the parent, so like listen to me.
It's so fascinating to me. Like, so right before Scorpio would be
Libra.
Libra.
So they, the generation before us with Pluto and Libra, had their own role, and they were one of the first generations that kind of normalized divorce in a way, and like started, I think, to try to rebalance some of the scales with like women's empowerment between like the masculine and feminine. So like they also played a big role in their own way. If For anyone who's like deeply interested in this and Pluto, my favorite astrologer, Stephen Forrest, has a book called The Book of Pluto, and it's really great. And it talks a bit about Pluto through the signs and the generations. And then it also talks about Pluto in each house placement. So it's a really good resource, and it does illuminate even more deeply a lot of what we're talking about and kind of the gifts and psychological burdens of each generation.
Very cool. Very, I'm definitely, that's, I'm adding that to my list
Good
because
one.
yes, this, I find this evolutionary cycle so fascinating to me, which is probably why astrology resonates so deeply with me because of that, component to it. But, no, I like thinking about that and how those shifts happen and this energy of like, what was happening in that time? Like, what did we experience as kids that is impacting us now? And you see so many people like learning how to bake and how to cook. And wait, all I have to do is grind up the apples and I have applesauce? Who knew that it didn't have to come out of a box or out of a can or a jar, right? Like, I can't tell you the number of dumb realizations that I have had that's like, oh.
I mean, there's that level of it. There's also the level of like, our Pluto and Scorpio generation are very much truth tellers, and like we're gonna make shit uncomfortable because we're not going to like we're gonna name the elephant in the room, and we often individually and collectively get scapegoated for that, but like it shows up in like these kind of mundane ways and these really big, significant ways as well.
Yeah, I would be interested, and we didn't prepare for any of this, but maybe in a part two, we could do this and look at it from like corporate or well, a progression of the millennial generation over a couple of significant time periods, because the one that's coming up for me very prevalently is I have a strong memory of being in a corporate training, and I think we talked about this off camera a couple days ago, which was okay. These millennials are coming into the workforce and they have different demands, and you have to work with them differently. They don't do this, they don't do that, they question this, right? And I remember sitting in this huge ballroom hearing, and I was like, does anybody know that I'm one of these?
I'm like an undercover millennial agent here.
Like, Should I reveal myself or should I not reveal myself? Right? Like, oh my God, this is intense. And so I'm kind of curious because I very much recall as the millennials started to enter the workforce, just as it happened with Gen Z as well, and as it would with every generation, right? It to some extent is, it was like, whoa, we did it differently. We were like, hey, I got my work done by 3 o'clock. Why do I have to stay till 5? I don't understand.
Well, it's that questioning again of why? Why are we doing things this way? And
Yeah.
most of the time, the overarching answer we received in work or in whatever area of life was because it's always been this way.
Yeah,
And
that's
we're
the
like,
way
well, we're here to transform stuff, so that's not good enough for us.
Yeah, but I need to know why. Where did it come from? Why did it start this way? How did this happen,
Is
right?
it still working for us? And no, it's not.
Not anymore. Not now that we're here. I this as you're saying that, it's making me think of how many things I have learned and or I see other people share on social media of like, hey, did you know that the reason women shave their legs is because men went overseas and the shaving companies didn't have anybody to sell their razors to, and so they decided women should shave their legs. It's like,
Interesting. There's that like aspect of deconditioning and Uranus again of like, oh, that's really look at the like the underlying motivations and reasons why we're doing things the way we're doing them, and if we want to keep doing them or not. That's like make it a more conscious choice.
Yeah, like I like a smooth leg. I'm cool with that. And I can recognize that that isn't actually the way I'm supposed to be. So can I be okay with, right? Like it goes back to that healing and that therapy and understanding that root. And I think we're just a root cause generation that's like, get all the way down. Nope, that's not
That
it
is
yet.
very Pluto and Scorpio as well. That's a really good like phrase to put to it, is like getting to the root cause, whereas like we've been maybe trying to answer or respond to a bunch of different symptoms collectively for a long time, and the millennials are like, we're still not addressing the root again, which is why we've normalized therapy, because it's like, okay, we're just prescribing like a bunch of pills to solve some surface level symptoms, but nothing actually is changing below the surface.
Right. And it makes sense from like a career perspective too, right? It's like, oh, well, that resolves when you get the next job and you do the next thing and you get an MBA or you do this or you do that or whatever. All these things resolve. And then all of a sudden we've got to this point in our career where we're like, that didn't solve anything. It's actually worse.
I still have the same underlying emptiness that I'm trying to fill with work.
Yeah, wait a minute. This was supposed to be the dream, and this dream doesn't feel like one that
I
I
know, like I think one thing I would maybe like kind of summarize the visual and metaphor that's coming to me is like, especially in the industrial era and the industrial like machine, I feel like millennials are like the wrench or whatever that got thrown into the machine that like has turned the whole thing to a slowdown and a stop. And it's because the industrial machine was about to like run its, and it still is about to run itself off a cliff. And millennials got kind of thrown into it as like, break this.
Absolutely, right? Like, why is this machine running? And what is happening here? Yeah, I love that. I love that metaphor. And the thing that I just keep seeing is like so many amazing things are under the earth, right? Like I keep getting like a root vegetable, a potato, a carrot as like a visualization. And the millennials are like, okay, I'm gonna go down there and I'm gonna find it. And once I find it, I'm going to bring it out into the light because look at how nutrient and dense and like beautiful and supportive this is. Once we get to the root and let's like bring it up because it's time to harvest those things so that we can plant the next, right? And then we get to decide what that is.
Yeah, and on the flip side, like that's also bring up the roots that are diseased at their source, and it's going to be really ugly when we pull them up because that stuff is rotten and smells. And we're seeing a lot of that now. Like we're seeing a lot of rotten stuff come up to the surface, but that's part of our role generationally too, is to like either be the ones uncovering or be kind of the energetic holders of this archetype of, it's the archetype of apocalypsis right now, which is the veil being lifted, the truth being seen, and that is very Plutonian.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you're right? Like, if I'm gonna plant a new garden, if I go through and I get to the spring and I want to plant the new seeds, I can't plant new seeds if the whole bed is diseased, and so I gotta clean it out. And so we're just in that clean out. And I would just like to leave us with, like, the whole reason that this conversation is so powerful is because we're in it right now. And I really just get this strong sense and urge that if we as a generation can see each other in this way and understand that this is what we're here to do, and like link arms and empower each other. I know. I'm like, yeah, the millennials are here to change the world. And if we keep holding on and not embracing ourselves and our roles here and like supporting each other in that change making, energy, we work against ourselves rather than working together. And I think if we can harness that power, ooh, yeah,
Totally.
let's unearth it, get it, and build that beautiful garden. Like, it's gonna be amazing.
Completely. And the last thing I would say to add to that, like my kind of, if I could get like one message through to millennials at large, it would be like the things that you have been individually shamed or pathologized for, like your deep sensitivity, your bouts of depression and anxiety and like mental health stuff, are actually like they've been used against you as like the things you need to heal and fix. And they're actually some of your biggest strengths for each of us and the things that unite us. And it's because we're like the canaries in the coal mine, and you are responding normally to an unwell society. And the world needs that to slow us down and halt us in what we're doing so that we can transform and bring up all the shit. So it's turning our shame into our power and our gold. And that is also alchemy, like turning the lead and the dirt into gold.
Yes. You make me think of, I talk often about the water wheel, right? So, like, if we, the water is what we're taking things from, and we're doing our own personal work as the wheel, that's what makes the energy happen, right? Is the water. So you got to take what you've been given, do your own work to understand it, to alchemize it, to harness it, and then offer it back in. And that is like how we create that change. And it's together, and it's each of us doing our own work. And I think you and astrology is such a powerful tool to understand some of these energies that sometimes I can't even put into words. I'm like, I have no idea why this comes up for me. And then it's like you look at the astrological imprint that happened, and I'm like, oh, it wasn't somebody said this to me or some situation that happened. It was just the energy that imprinted into me to create this. And I think that tools like this for self-discovery are really powerful, with therapy, with, right? Like, all these different pieces that we're bringing to light as a generation feel so transformative for us because they are that alchemy. I love
Yeah,
them.
they're part of our tools in the tool belt so we can go into the wilderness and flow instead of having to chart out every move of what's going to happen when we don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Ah, this is amazing. Okay, more of this on other topics, but I was so loved jumping into the millennial generation and what's happening for us, and that rally cry for us to come together and support each other.
Yeah, me too. I think it's so important right now. So thank you for generating this conversation for us.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Awesome. Thanks, Chelsea. Talk to everybody soon.